Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the GM Shuffle.
You know, look, Dallas is f***ed. I mean, let's face it, right? Yeah. I mean, where are they going? Cooper Rush? You know, this isn't a 1-800 number you can call to get a quarterback. Like, okay, yeah, I got a blue-chip quarterback sitting over here. Just bring him on in.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. Michael, Overreaction Monday is here, and we got a lot to get to after the first Sunday of the NFL season.
I don't think we're going to overreact. I think there's a lot to react to. I mean, you know, go down the list. There's so many games that were just sometimes you were wondering, like, what are we doing? There were so many games that you were sitting there when you handicapped them. You're like, okay, that makes sense. But it's just so good to have football back. Mm-hmm. It's great to see all the games come down to the fourth quarter as close as it is. I got a question for you before we start.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't understand how everybody doesn't want to take the 3 points, yet all these games are decided by 3 points or 4 points or less. Like, why do you turn down points?
It's getting greedy. Got to get that touchdown instead of a field goal. And that's kind of where the coaches are making these decisions now. And it's the new age way of doing stuff. But it can put you in a bind if it doesn't go well.
No doubt. It puts you in a bind. I mean, early in the game, I'm watching Baltimore play the Jets. And, I mean, 4th and 1 at midfield. And, you know, Baltimore, unless you give the Jets field position, I didn't think they were going to score. And John Harbaugh has his offense out there, and then he brings it back. I think he called a timeout and brought it back. So, you know, I think sometimes you have to consider the situation. And I thought yesterday was a perfect example of first quarter, evaluate the game plan, second and third, make adjustments, fourth quarter, standalone game. And that's where we should start this pod, Femi, with your Dallas Cowboys, because your boy Kellen Moore, sitting in his basement in Des Moines, you know, playing Madden with his game sheet, has a beautiful first drive of the game, like he always does. Yep. And then when we get to the adjustment phase, he disappears. He's mom, the meatloaf. Mom, meatloaf. You know, he's got to go outside. He's got to go eat. He can't find Kellen Moore.
It was bad, and I'm not even mad about it, Michael, because I expected it. And as always, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. You can tweet at us at MLombardiNFL, at Femi Abebefe, where you can find me, our producer Stephen Bond, with us as well on the ones and twos. But you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, and I talked about it all offseason. They're missing some offensive linemen. They're missing wide receivers. The offense is going to struggle. I was not stunned to see only 3 points on the board late into the third quarter there. Then the whole thing gets off the rails in the fourth quarter, but it's just – It's what I expected. So they can't hurt me, Michael. they can't hurt me because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Cowboys are the classic example of over-evaluating their own team. They don't evaluate their team correctly. And, now we're going to find out. Now with Dak breaking his thumb, I mean, I don't know how long that's going to be. You know, I mean, any injury to a quarterback's throwing hand, especially his thumb's, got me worried. Right?
Yeah.
And even when he played, he had 15 incomplete passes. He only had 14 completed passes. Couldn't get the ball down the field. Other than the first drive, what did they do? You know, and we talk about all these weapons they have. And yes, I know they have young receivers, but, again, he's got 11 targets to CeeDee Lamb and he only has 2 completions. Like, what are we doing here? I know Kellen Moore probably will become a head coach next year because he's going to be in that David Ogilvy. He's a media darling, and everybody can't wait to talk about him. But the reality of it is a difference between calling plays and winning a game and finding a way to win the game. And I don't think he's ever solved that riddle. I've been saying it for 2 years.
Yeah, no, it's just not a good situation down there in Dallas based on what they had on the offensive line. When the Tyron Smith injury happened a few weeks ago, that's when I knew this team was really in trouble. I was already kind of lukewarm on the Cowboys because of the situation at wide receiver and knowing that Dak Prescott, like we talked about in our last episode when we're doing the red chips and blue chips for the quarterbacks, and I asked you, can Dak elevate to that blue chip status? And we both agreed that we don't think he can. Because he's not that kind of a quarterback. He's a very good quarterback when the situation around him is very good. But the situation has deteriorated over the offseason to the Joneses' fault of trading Amari Cooper and releasing Lyle Collins to where now this is a situation to where the team is just not as good as it has been over the last handful of years. And now Dak is really going to have to carry the rest of the guys. And through 3 quarters, he didn't look like he was up for the task. And then the injury happens, and now 6 to 8 weeks, he's out. It's going to be a really, really bad scenario for this Cowboys team. But, Michael, here's what Jerry Jones, the owner, the president, the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, had to say after the game about the Dak Prescott injury.
Yes, he has an injury above his joint and his thumb up here that'll need surgery. I'm particularly disappointed for our fans. Dak will be out for a little while, and so we'll be dealing with that as well. So, this was a really tough night for the Cowboys, but a surprising night. But of course, really add to it right there at the end to lose him for 7 weeks. We'll see more about how many weeks that may be.
What was surprising about this? Like you
That's
said,
what I want to know.
It's like we didn't second guess this. We first guessed this, like you said on the podcast.
Yeah.
There was absolutely nothing surprising about Dallas's offense struggling when they had the issues on the offensive line.
I mean, let's start with just the coordinator. You know, like I talk about in my breakdowns every week, you know, when you go to my coordinator page here and I look at the coordinators and I see Todd Bowles versus Kellen Moore. Now, the media loves it. You know, I'm sure NBC loves it. They love Kellen Moore. They can't wait to talk about how great he is. And the reality of it is like, seriously, that was a mismatch. You know, when we saw it last year, it's San Francisco came into town and kicked his butt. You know, like, I don't understand it. All these people that have that Cowboy under ticket, you know, they're sitting over there. They're happier in hell right now.
Yeah.
You know, because they know. I mean, there's no way they're getting to 10. How are they going to get to 10? And the underlying story last night, too, was – I don't think the Bucs didn't play their A game by far.
No.
We're not good in the red zone. Yet the Bucs ran 152 yards in the game. You know, this offensive line that was supposed to be so disastrous for the Bucs, you know, it ended up getting worse because they had to put Wells in for the left tackle. But still, Brady only had 9 incomplete passes for the game. You know, he did what he had to do. He took, you know, made plays down the field, made some great throws. Julio actually got involved. And, you know, I mean, it was the score at what, 19-3? I don't think it was indicative of how close the game was.
No, it was an absolute blowout. It was an absolute blowout at no point during this game. Once it got to 9-3, 12-3, I was like, Cowboys aren't winning. They can't do enough offensively
to win the
game. They
never got into the red zone.
They never got it. Yeah.
They never got it.
It was terrible.
And then, oh, by the way, we forgot. You know, what do we talk about all the time? You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. Guess how many penalties the Cowboys had?
Yeah. It was double digit.
Another 10.
10 for 73.
So if you didn't fix it last year, you didn't fix it all through last year. You had an offseason, and now you didn't fix it again. Who's that on? Like, who is that on? You know, you got to find a way to solve that problem. I think that's, you know, that shows up. That shows up again. Like, to me, that's all about, you know, what are we doing here? How are we practicing? Look, and now, do you think Don Finucci's coming back? You know who Don Finucci is? I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Ben DiNucci.
I call him Don Finucci, yeah.
Yeah, he's a family friend of the McCarthys, so I would guess if they're going to pick up a QB too, it'd probably be Ben DiNucci there.
Yeah, I mean, look, all this, they're not trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jerry Jones isn't going to do that. They're not going to do that. No. Where else are they going to go to get a quarterback? You know, I mean, like, they're going to have to bring in somebody who knows the system. Mm-hmm. And Cooper Rush, is he going to stay? I mean, you went to practice every day knowing Cooper Rush was your backup, right? Now, last year they had, 2 years ago, was it? Or last year was Andy Dalton, wasn't it?
2 years ago was Andy Dalton.
2 years ago they put all that money into Andy Dalton. That didn't work out for him either.
Cooper Rush, he won them a game against the Minnesota Vikings last year, but I would not be expecting something like that this year, given that the weapons have worsened for the Cowboys in 2022. 3.8 yards per play for Dallas. Just an ugly performance overall. I thought there were some flashes on defense that were pretty good. Micah Parsons is still a hell of a player. Ezekiel Elliott, I thought, actually looked pretty good as well. He looked a little bit more spry now that he's healthy, but the rest of the whole situation
They didn't give him the ball. The guy had 10 carries in the game, and it's a close game. He's got 10 carries in the game. And again, you know, Pollard has 6 carries in the game, you know, and then we don't even get Pollard had 2 catches for 14 yards. Like, at what point in this offseason did you not know we have to get Pollard the ball more? We've got to get Zeke and Pollard on the field at the same time. You know, at what point is that? You know, I mean, Schultz was the leading receiver with 7, but Schultz is not going to beat you. 14 yards was the longest play. The longest play of the game was 22 yards by Noah Brown. How are you going to score if you don't make an explosive play?
It's what we said earlier this offseason, Michael. Kellen Moore does not know how to get his best playmakers the football. The defense is fine giving up Dalton Schultz 8-yard catches at a pop. They're not worried about that. CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, those are your best playmakers on this offense, and he failed to get them the football. And that's an indictment of the play caller, and it's an indictment of the head coach who is allowing all of this to take place, and he might be looking for a job around
Halloween. I disagree. You can't blame Mike McCarthy for this. Mike McCarthy sits there. I don't know why he has a game sheet in his goddamn hands, but this is Jerry. You got to blame this on Jerry. Jerry wants Kellen Moore to run the offense. So McCarthy takes the job and sits back and watches somebody else do what he's done. You know, this is going to be another repeat of, like, okay, when you come back after I get fired, what did I do wrong? Well, I wasn't who I wanted to be. I couldn't run the offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I don't even think about Jerry, because I know he's never going to go anywhere, which is probably the biggest problem and why the Cowboys haven't had major playoff success since 1995, because he's not going to fire himself. So this is just going to be a reoccurring thing. You can change the coaches, but until the actual fundamental structure of the organization changes, we're not going to really see any good results for the Dallas Cowboys. Michael, we saw some wacky results in the witching hour in the NFL. Just taking a step back here. That Sunday afternoon time slot from like around 12:30 West Coast time to about 1:30, it was absurd. And the biggest headline of the whole thing was the kickers. My goodness, we had 10 missed field goals or extra points in the fourth quarter yesterday alone. It's not a record, but it was still quite a bit, and it led to some pretty insane results.
Right, so there were two kicks outside of 50 that were missed. There were 4 outside of 40 that were missed, and there were 2 out in between the 30 and the 39 that were missed. You know, and so look, we talked about it, as I wrote about it on VSiN.com. Special teams are going to determine a lot of these games. You know, they're going to determine it. It's going to come down to that. And when you look at it, when you go through it, Pittsburgh, Cincy, kicker, Cleveland, kicker, Indy, Houston, kicker, Giants, Tennessee, kicker, New Orleans, Atlanta, kicker. I mean, those games come all down to the final wire. And, you know, we could say, well, all the analytical people will tell you, well, the difference between a good kicker and a bad kicker is one kick. Yeah, well, here we are. You know, and that's why applaud the Browns for drafting that kid out of LSU. I mean, that kick would have been good from 70. You know, that game was an interesting game in the sense that the Carolina Panthers got a bad, bad call, which is something we should talk about later on the show, is these unintentional hits on quarterbacks are getting called for personal fouls, which is really uncalled for. They got a horrible personal foul call on them, moved the ball 15 yards. And then they didn't call grounding on Brissett because he pumped the ball and then he moved out of the pocket and he didn't move out of the pocket and he threw it in the ground again. That's grounding, right? They let him get away with it. But even if they would have moved the ball back 10 yards, that kid would have made the kick.
Yeah. He was, you said he's good from 65, 68. He had a nice little draw.
I think he would have been good from 70. I mean, that thing looked like a Rory McIlroy a 9-iron, the way it came in there, and then it just hooked right back through the goalpost. I mean, holy shit.
It was a hell of a kick. It was a hell of a kick. Kudos to Cade York, the rookie out of LSU. The Browns, they even tweeted out, said, yeah, that's why we drafted a kicker, to win a game like that. So the Browns, they're the ones that win the Baker Bowl as Mayfield fails to get revenge there against his former team. But the Titans game, Randy Bullock missing that field goal, 47-yarder. I thought that the Titans were in good shape because I don't know. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I actually disagreed with what Brian Daboll did going for two at that situation just because of the amount of time left on the clock. Usually, I would like to go for two in that situation if it was 30 seconds or less, knowing that the other team, if you do convert that two-point conversion, is going to be a lot more aggressive in getting into field goal range, and that's what we saw from the Tennessee Titans. They very easily could have lost that game if Randy Bullock knew how to make that 47-yard field goal. I actually disagreed. Even though it worked out for Daboll, I disagreed with what he did there with 1:03 on the clock going for the lead.
You know, but I didn't, because here's why. I think, to me, he knows watching the game they were going to move the ball and get into field goal range, right? I think if it was 20, say they kick the extra point, it's 20-20. He's going to lose. He's not getting that game into overtime, right? I don't think he thinks he's getting that game into overtime. And if he gets it into overtime, does he really think he can win it? So, you know, he had a good play on tap. I'm actually usually conservative in that. I thought it was a good call. I thought it was because I think he saw his defense on the field. I don't think he felt like, okay, I really got control of this, you know, and he was able to get the ball and he succeeded at it, you know, and still, I mean, Tennessee had how many timeouts? They had two timeouts left into that final drive of the game. So you got two timeouts. You get the ball with we get the ball with 1:06 to go in the game. You know, and you got Bullock. I think where Tennessee screwed up is when Tennessee got the ball down when they threw the ball to Phillips and they gained like 27 yards, Phillips ran out of bounds, and then Tennessee had to call timeout again. You remember that?
Yep. Which hurt what they could do. Yeah.
Right. Because once again, I'll keep saying this over and over. The object isn't to get into field goal range. At that point, the object is to get into makeable field goal range. And I think, I know these 40-yard kicks are kind of makeable and they should be, but still, 47 is a hard kick. It's a hard kick. And I wasn't there to feel the weather or all that, but I think they should have gotten a little bit aggressive at that point. If you don't burn that timeout, you still have two timeouts. And I know you don't want to give up a sack there, but you got a veteran quarterback. You say, hey, look, we're just going to throw this thing away. We got to be smart. That's situational football. I thought they lost the game after the big play to Phillips for 27 yards or 21 yards or whatever the hell it was. 21 yards. I think that's where they kind of, to me, that's where they messed it up. And I think that as they go back, as Vrabel goes back, I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive in that situation because, look, you know, and it's funny, Fem. You know, both the Giants and the Bears scored all their points in the second half. And when you look at the stat sheet, you say, wow, Daniel Jones's numbers weren't too bad, right?
Oh, he was awful.
I mean, he was trying to lose the game for him.
He was awful.
I mean, he was trying like hell to lose the game for him. There's no doubt about that. That's why his quarterback rating is a 115. I think it's a joke that it's a 115 because he had two touchdown passes. How many yards were they? I thought the story of the game was the Saquon Barkley.
100%.
Guy averaged 9-1 a catch, 9-1 a rush.
100%. Barkley is back. And it's fun to see him back because he's a dynamic athlete. But Daniel Jones, to your point, he was trying to throw. He threw an interception in the end zone when they were down by 7.
God.
Like, get this guy out of here. I don't know what the Giants are going to do at quarterback in the future, but it's definitely not Daniel Jones because he was going to get benched on that.
I thought he might. When Daboll went over to him and the TV cameras went there and Daboll was like giving him shit, I thought Daboll was like, I've had enough of this guy. Now, you know, here's what happens all the time is the great Jackson Brown line that says, you know, we forget about the losses and we exaggerate the wins. Well, really, Mondays exaggerate the win day. Like, the Giants should have lost the game if the kicker makes the kick, and Daniel Jones would have been in the doghouse even more. But, you know, now we're going to exaggerate the win a little bit here. Kudos to the Giants. Great win, you know. I really felt like all week long that Tennessee was a kind of team that was never going to be able to get away from them. But then when it was 13 to nothing, I'm like, are the Giants ever going to move the ball? And then Barkley makes a 60-yard, 8-yard run, and then he has a big pass play. I mean, if it's not Barkley, you know, Barkley's got, what, almost 200 total yards in the game if it's not for him?
He's such an awesome player, Saquon Barkley, and I'm so happy to see that he's healthy because he had a great rookie season, wins rookie of the year, and he's been banged up ever since there. But he is a dynamic player, and that's why they drafted him high. Although a lot of people disagree with drafting a running back that high, I do as well, but you can tell why somebody would get enamored with that sort of talent because he is terrific. And just to wrap up the point on Daniel Jones, his passer rating was 115.9, but his QBR, which factors in rushing and factors in game situation, 25.8 on a scale of 0 to 100. We know what the real facts are. He was bad. I looked at
the QBR, but I look at the eye test too. You know, like we'll talk about it later, but there, you know, the Lance Fields game. I mean, you know, that I don't care what their QBR was. I don't care. Neither of them played any good. You know what I'm saying? So neither of them were a winning quarterback. But more than anything, yesterday I thought it really was about what team lost, not what team won. You could go through the list. Like, let's take New England and Miami. Yeah, I mean, we got Miami, hot team. You know, Waddle, great play, catches the 4th and 7. You know, good call, good play. Hey, kudos to McDaniel. New England, once again, lost the game when they played Miami. They turned the ball over every time they played Miami. Credit to Miami's defense. You know, they moved the ball. I think they had 8 drives. They fumbled 3 times out of 8 drives. I mean, you can't turn the ball over when you're on the road like that. So even though it's a 20-7 game, what did Miami get? I think they got 13 points out of their defense yesterday. I mean, Miami's defense won that game. Clearly won the game, and you know, it's because of their ability to create the turnover. Same thing with the Bears. The Bears beat the 49ers, not because of anything other than the 49ers lost the game.
We'll get into all those games in that morning slate and the afternoon slate as well, but we got to take one quick break here, Michael. This is the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Michael, you talked about this 49ers and Bears game. Chicago gets the upset victory 19-10, all 19 of their points scored in the second half. But I want to play you a clip of head coach Kyle Shanahan, who is not too happy with the 49ers' miscues as it pertains to penalties.
It's tough to win when you do that stuff. We always talk about doing right longer, and I think today was the exact opposite of that. Just look at the amount of penalties we had compared to them, the turnovers compared to them, and then the timing of those penalties were crucial. 2 big third downs where we had them off the field, had 2 stupid penalties that let them keep going that led to 14 points. We had one on offense on third down where we moved the chains and got a penalty there that didn't count, so I'm real disappointed in those.
12 penalties for 99 yards for the 49ers, 2 turnovers as well, like Shanahan mentioned. That simply can't happen.
No. I mean, look, and they were personal foul penalties. Greenlaw had 2 of them, you know, and some of them are nitpicking too. I mean, field slides and Greenlaw comes over the top and they throw the flag. I mean, it's a little bit of what I was talking about the last block. Sometimes, you know, these quarterbacks are getting, like, you can't even touch them when they slide. And, you know, you're in the, you know, what, I don't even know what they want the guy to do when the quarterback slides what are you supposed to do? So, but this was a sloppy game by the 49ers. There was some good plays in the game for Trey Lance, but at the end of the day, when you watch Trey Lance try to operate this offense, he stares down the receivers. He's not very comfortable in any process. You know, his accuracy is very, very inconsistent. You know, he misses a wide open touchdown early in the game. You know, the last two throws of the game on third and fourth down, he's not even close to making the throw. You know, and so Kyle tried to run him as much as he could, try to keep him out of it. But I think his confidence is going to be affected because, you know, you can deflect this and say this was on penalties, but this game shouldn't have been close. I mean, the Niners were by far the better team on tape. They were by far, but they couldn't do anything. Justin Fields, I thought, was terrible in the game. He has 8 completions in the game. And 2 of the big completions are, you know, one's on a loose play where he scrambles and gets out of the way. And then the other one was on a full, you know, he kind of, the coverage was just blown by the 49ers. They had the crosser wide open and they had the sail route wide open. Either one he could have thrown. So if I'm a Bears fan, great win. Awesome. Nice job, right? We gained 204 yards. I thought Justin Fields was terrible. I'm concerned moving forward with Justin Fields. Not accurate. Didn't process well. All the plays that he makes are when he can move around. But give them credit. 3 penalties. That's all they had in the game. You know, they didn't turn the ball over, didn't make mistakes, and they win.
Sometimes it comes down to that, just not making mistakes and letting the other team shoot themselves in the foot there. The Niners, they averaged 4.9 yards per play. The Bears, to your point, averaged 3.6, only 204 yards of total offense for the Chicago Bears, and they're somehow able to get this 19-10 victory here. Trey Lance, you mentioned him. This, to me, it didn't look good, but I also don't want to panic because this is only his third start. He just needs to play football. He hasn't played football consistently for about 3 years. There's going to be growing pains, and at times it's going to look horrific, but he's got to be out there.
I mean, why? Why you got to put him out there? I mean, you went to the Super Bowl with the other guy. I mean, well, you're 7-Kyle, I think the way Kyle's 38-43 as a head coach in the regular season. 31 of those wins came with Jimmy Garoppolo. So he's 7-29 as a head coach when he doesn't play Garoppolo. Like, you're going to lose the confidence of the team. We can all masquerade this, but the defense is playing a doubleheader out there, you know, and you're running the ball. They must have run more jet sweeps than ever, right? Yes. I mean, they're running jet sweeps. I mean, they ran the ball effectively, but they couldn't make a play when it mattered. And I don't really, you know, like some of the throws he made in the game, Kyle gave them to him. The guys were wide-ass open. Even when they were wide-ass open, he couldn't make the throw. Look, I'm not saying get rid of Lance. I'm just saying if you want to keep going this way and you keep losing games, look, there's a reason the book, that this 49er team is really talented. And they can go a long way, but they're not going to go a long way unless they improve the quarterback position. I mean, he stares down the receiver. You know, the third down in the game when they're behind, Chicago plays one robber. They bring Eddie Robinson down, or the safety, they bring him down, and all he's doing is staring at Lance's eyes, and Lance just throws the pick right to him. He just takes him right to the football. And that's all they did. And the Chicago defense is built on read the quarterback's eyes, read his shoulders, run to the ball. And Lance doesn't play with any rhythm. He doesn't play with any sense of confidence or experience. And when the rush starts to get around him, it's over.
You can tell that he was not comfortable at any point during that game there. But I just think that they made the bet on Trey Lance in April of 2021. So by hook or crook, this is the situation that they've put themselves in.
Yeah, there's a thing called sunk cost fallacy. You know, and what you're playing into that. Since we did it, we got to keep going. But at some point, I would say Buffalo Wild Wings timeout here. Like, we got to call a timeout. like that's it, right? We're going to call a timeout. Maybe next year's Lance's year. But right now,
can you keep waiting, though? Because
you're going to lose the Femi, you're going to lose the locker room. What are you going to do? You know, Kyle's going to blame it on the penalties. Okay, that gets you through week one. You lose another game? Let me tell you something. You put Lance's on tape now. These defensive coordinators are too freaking smart. They see the same thing I see. Hey, he's throwing to the guy he reads. You know, unless we give him a play wide open off a play action. When they got behind 19-13 and it became a pass game, watch that tape from that point forward. Watch that game. That's when you have to evaluate the quarterback. When it became, I got to throw it, can I throw it? And he couldn't.
It's going to be a weekly thing with Trey Lance and this 49ers offense, and to your point, if they get off the rails, it could get bad.
How about the people that bet Trey Lance for MVP? Like, seriously.
I think those tickets are dead.
Can I send you St. Jude's number, please? They call me. St. Jude's calls me at least once a week, you know, for a donation. Can I send you those people that number? And can I send the people that were recommending that? Can I send them some you know, like, seriously, where did you come up with that idea? As you said, this guy hasn't played enough, and now you think he's going to go from not playing to the MVP of the National Football League? You got no respect for the NFL when you make that statement.
Yeah, he simply has not played there. But I want to move on to another game here, Michael. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, we talked about it a little bit in the kicking game, and boy, were the kickers out in that situation with the operation in Cincinnati there. The snapper was just all over the place. The Steelers, they even missed a kick toward the end of regulation, but they get the upset victory 23-20 over the defending AFC champions. And when you look at the box score, Cincinnati outplayed Pittsburgh, but like every single NFL game comes down to, the turnover margin is what dictated this one. Five turnovers, Michael, for the Cincinnati Bengals, four Joe Burrow interceptions, as it was a disaster from the start, starting with that pick six by Minka Fitzpatrick.
I mean, look, you know, he's got the guy in there. He's thrown it, 50-some times? What do you have, 53 attempts in the game? You know, I this is as much on Zach Taylor as anybody.
He was horrific.
Like, it is. I mean, Zach Taylor at some point. Zach, can I tell you a secret? Joe Mixon's your best player. Okay, he's one of your best players on offense. When you take him off the field to put Sammy Perrine out there, the defense is clapping. They're giving you a standing ovation. Like, I get it, you can't wear Mixon out. But on critical conversion downs, you got a lesser player on the field than Mixon. How does that make any sense at all? How does that make any sense at all? Like, that's coaching malpractice. Well, he's our nickel group. We got to go with our nickel group. Oh, we got to go our nickel group. Nickel on the field. You just lost a fucking Super Bowl because you put your nickel field on the field. Right? And you're so unaware that you do it again the next year. Like, are you kidding me? I would have come in and I would have said, hey, if I'm Mike Brown, I would have said, hey, let me just put this really clear. Joe Mixon is our nickel running back. He's also our first and second down running back. Now, we're going to need to rest him and get some, but just so we're aware, Joe Mixon's on the field on conversion downs. That's the end of the story. And then, like, again, like he did in this, he has no awareness of the game, the clock. He's snapping the ball with 15 seconds left to go in the game.
That was absolutely terrible.
Because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand how to manage a game. He knows how to call plays. He knows how to design an offense. He has no idea how to manage a game. If he could have, if they would have flown Bill Parcells into the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, the Bengals would have been Super Bowl champs last year. Just fly him in the fourth quarter, put his big ass on the sideline, and let him manage the game in the fourth quarter. You know, there's something you could think about. You know, Steve Bisciotti made all that money for, he made his billions and billions of dollars for replacing, having the hedge fund, not a hedge fund, it's like employment, like high-level employment replacements. Like, if you lose a nuclear surgeon and you're a hospital, he had one that he could put in there, right?
He's a headhunter.
Right, headhunter put him, but it was an elite headhunter group. Like, it was elite, like a specialization. Like, that's what you should have. You know, that staple of these older coaches that are just out there. And in the fourth quarter, they fly in, come in, take over the game, and win the game for you. That's what should happen.
I couldn't believe that. One of our listeners, Tim Rose, and shout out to him, he tagged both of us in this tweet about that situation. And I was in the midst of watching all these games at once, so I didn't really catch it initially. But I went back and watched it with the NFL Plus package, and I was just, my jaw was on the floor. Like, why did he punt the ball when he could have ran off 20 more seconds? But that's just...
Did they say anything on TV about it? I didn't listen. I had the sound off on the game, I didn't even listen. I didn't watch Scott Hansen. I had the DirecTV, Andrew Siciliano on a red zone on one channel, but I had the sound off, so I didn't even watch it. Did they say anything?
They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. They
just why would they?
They just said they punt the ball into the end zone for a touchback. Pittsburgh takes over. They didn't say anything.
I mean, why would they? Why would we want to educate the fans on game management? I mean, why would we want to do that? Like, seriously.
Because
like, what benefit would that do to the fans? Like, why would we want to do that? That would be – we might piss somebody off in Cincinnati. And then if we got to talk to Zach Taylor, you know, he might get mad at us if we say something wrong. I mean, come on. I mean, that's what you get paid to do. I mean, the Steelers did exactly what we said. Patrick and I had on Sunday – I loved the Steelers. I liked them at 6.5. I loved them at 7.5 with the line closed, right?
Yep.
I mean, like, I'm betting Mike Tomlin there. I'm betting Mike Tomlin against goddamn Zach Taylor. Even if you would have flipped coaches, What do you think the score would have been?
37-13.
Zach wasn't going to get 13 with Trubisky, I can tell you that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because they had 13 first downs to the Bengals, 32 first downs, and they still found a way to lose the game. But the big story after that game, though, is TJ Watt. The Steelers believe he might have torn his pectoral muscle. This could be a situation, if it is a torn pec, that has TJ Watt out for the rest of the year. Maybe he can come back in late December or January, but that's a big blow since he is the reigning defensive player of the year, Michael.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when you tear a pec, it's over. A pec, bicep, tricep on any interior player, it's over. It's just impossible to come back from. To regain that strength in less than 9 months, look, I'm not a doctor, but to regain that strength in less than 9 months is just bad. But, you know, I feel bad for Pittsburgh. But look, Pittsburgh's gritty. I mean, you know, and I know there was a report out on Sunday that Mike's going to go with Trubisky, though. I don't know how much you can watch a Trubisky run this offense. I mean, I don't know how much you can watch it.
It's
you
bad.
Know, and Najee Harris got hurt. Now, they say he's not that bad, but he got hurt. I mean, look, they played a doubleheader on defense and come out the winner.
Might have been a tripleheader.
I mean, it was unbelievable, right? It was unbelievable. Like, you're just sitting there waiting for it. And, you know, like, I didn't see this because I had the sound off. But when Chase caught that ball at the one-yard line, was that under 2 minutes? Could that have been reviewed?
I believe it was supposed to be a booth review at that situation. Let me double-check that one because I don't know why they wouldn't have looked at it. Because to me, it looked like a touchdown when he made that catch. So I think that was supposed to be a booth review, I believe.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be a booth review, too, when he got it down to the, you know, what did he, I mean, I thought he almost scored on it, right?
Yeah, because it got down to the 1 yard line. But I think the problem, though, is that they went quickly. They ended up going quickly because they wanted to try to score there. Or I believe, I think this was a chance for them to challenge it, I think. Actually, when I'm looking, it was outside the 2 minutes. So Zach Taylor was supposed to challenge. It was outside. I'm looking at the play-by-play sheet. So, of course, Zach Taylor was like, let's sprint up to the one-yard line instead of actually take a look at the replay there. But they ended up turning the ball over on downs.
Well, there they had the ball. There's another Zach Taylor. I mean, how much more is he going to cost you? Let's give him an extension. Why not? Let's give him another 7 years extension because he
went to the Super Bowl.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is a comedy. This is a comedy.
Hmm. Let's take a look at the AFC West showdown that we saw in Los Angeles, Michael. The Las Vegas Raiders losing to the Los Angeles Chargers 24-19 was the final score there. What did you make of the Raiders here in Josh McDaniels' debut? Unfortunately for Las Vegas, 3 Derek Carr interceptions, and that was probably the difference in this game.
I mean, Carr didn't play well. You know, Carr didn't play well in this context. Held on to the ball too long. He got sacked a bunch, but a lot of those sacks he held on to the football. Had Waller wide open on a touchdown, threw it behind him on the first drive of the game.
Oh, my gosh.
He just wasn't accurate with the football. And I think, to me, as I've said from the start, the Raiders have to play from in front. That's going to be the key for the Raiders. They need to play. They need to be able to utilize Max Crosby. They need to be able to use Chandler Jones, who really didn't play. You know, they only scored 3 points in the first half. They go into halftime down 17-3. You know, and then they've got a chance to get back in the game and cover, right? So it's 24-19. They line up to go for two. They get an offsides on the. They get an illegal holding penalty on the Chargers. They get the ball at the 1 yard line. Then they false start. You know, if they get that there, then all of a sudden it's a different game. I thought Herbert was sensational. I mean, the ball rarely touched the ground. And the Raiders did exactly what they needed to do. They kept Mike Williams from making a big play. Right? They kept Mike Williams from making a big play. They had a chance in the fourth quarter to come back and win the game, and they couldn't do it. You know, they got the ball back in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't do it. It was one of those where, look, they just didn't play their best. They had every opportunity to do it. You know, he got sacked on the 4th and 8 there with just at the 2 minute warning, and then the Chargers were able to run out the clock. So, you know, they had that with 3:38 to go in the game, they're sitting there, they're down 4, they're down 5 with a chance to win the game. That's all you could have asked for, right? I thought this game was gonna come down to 3 points either way. That's why I like the Raiders in the 3.5.
It should have.
Because I thought it was gonna, you know. And it was just exactly kind of how it played out. It was going to be a high pace. I thought the under would have not hit. I thought it would have been, but the Raiders only scored 3 points in the first half. And a lot of that is because I just don't think Carr was as sharp as he needs to be.
the interception when he was trying to target Hunter Renfrow and he just threw the ball behind. Now, the Chargers ended up missing the field goal on the ensuing drive, but that just, it chewed off about 3.5 minutes, that Chargers drive, and that's a killer. You can't have those types of penalties or those types of mistakes, I should say, there with the three interceptions from Derek Carr, and he owned it after the game. He said that that was on me. I didn't play my best, and I got to be better for my team there as they lose it 24-19. Also, real quick note, Khalil Mack looked awesome. They're in the Chargers. He looked awesome. If him and Bosa are those two bookend rushers, this team is going to be tough to come back on.
I didn't see Bosa do much. I mean, Bosa did something. They ran that reverse early in the game, and it was kind of a messed up reverse. I think they had it wrong, but I didn't see Bosa. Like, I watched Nick Bosa, and I didn't see Bosa impact. A lot of those sacks, though, Femi, when you watch them, I mean, those were like coverage. Like, he should have got rid of the ball. Like, there's a couple times I got – now, maybe, guys, I got to watch the tape today. I didn't see it. But I didn't see – maybe guys weren't open. Look, I think for the Raiders to win, Josh Jacobs can't have 10 carries. And I don't care – you know, Josh McDaniels probably sitting in his office today, only 13 carries for his running backs. I mean, he knows he's got to run the ball. He's got to have better balance than that. And when you give – if you give Herbert the ball and you lose time of possession – you know, you're going to lose to the Chargers. You're going to lose to them. I mean, they had the ball 32 minutes. You had it 27. That's got to, if it's flipped, you win the game. If it's not, that you're going to lose because Herbert's too damn good. I mean, some of the throws he made, the second touchdown pass, the guy's covered and he just put the ball right in there.
He's phenomenal. But let's take a quick break here, Michael. We'll get back with the Baker Bowl between the Panthers and the Browns.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You could even bet on which team will make the playoffs coming out of the play-in tournament. You could take, say, the Lakers plus 215 to make the playoffs right now. That is an option at DK Sportsbook. Kings minus 165. Warriors plus 130. Those are just a few of the options available right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can download that app, use code SHUFFLE, and new customers just bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bet expires 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Michael, we saw the Cleveland Browns defeat the Carolina Panthers 26-24 in the Baker Mayfield Bowl. Jacoby Brissett, 18 of 34, 147 and a touchdown. Baker Mayfield for Carolina, 16 of 27, 235, a touchdown and an interception here. And this game played out pretty much how I thought it would. Cleveland's the better roster. They won the football game. But what did you make of Baker Mayfield in his debut?
I mean, he was really rough in the first half. He didn't play well at all. The whole offense was rough in the first half, and they couldn't get their run game going. They couldn't get McCaffrey kind of into it, and they really looked poor. The first half was really a disaster, and at the end of the day, you know, that cost them, and the fact they couldn't stop Nick Chubb. I mean, you watch the tape. Nick Chubb had, you know, they looked like they're going to tackle Nick Chubb for a 2-yard gain, and next thing you know, he's got five. You know, it looked like they're going to tackle him again, and he's got eight. You know, and the combination between Chubb and Hunt is so deadly. You know, they average 5.6 a game for the game. I mean, Brissett, the thing Brissett didn't do is turn the ball over. He didn't really make any plays in the game. He didn't turn the ball. I thought Donovan Peoples-Jones was the best receiver on the field. Everybody keeps giving Cowboys shit about losing Amari Cooper. Amari had three catches for 17 yards in the game. Like, Amari Cooper is one of those David Ogilvy players. He's got great PR, doesn't play great. You know, he's a David Ogilvy guy. Put him on the all David Ogilvy team. That's what we're going to do at the end of the year, is have the all David Ogilvy team. Because Amari, I mean, like, seriously, they talked last night on NBC like they lost God. Oh, they lost Amari Cooper. Like, seriously, Amari Cooper's the least of their problems. They got bigger issues on Dallas's offense than freaking Amari Cooper, who hates cold weather, by the way. So, like, you give them credit. Brissett didn't turn the ball over, but that formula that the Browns used in Carolina, it shouldn't have worked against Carolina. It did. Great field goal. That kid made an unbelievable kick. And The penalty on the penalty, which I thought was a disaster, was a bad call. You know, it was. I think where Brissett showed up most of everywhere where he couldn't make a play in the red zone. They're 1-for-4 in the red zone. That kept Carolina in the game. It kept Carolina in the game. And Carolina's got to get better. I mean, Baker's got to be better. He can't have – I've always said this about Baker, and this is why I didn't think he was the first overall pick in the draft. Too many balls get batted down at the line of scrimmage. He averages 6 a game. You can't. When the defense gets their hands on 6 balls, you can't. And he's got to have better pocket awareness. He's got to be able to slide and move like Breeze did because his height becomes an issue. I mean, here's the thing. The Browns have the ball 38 minutes in this game, fam, and it comes down to the last kick. I mean, it should have been as close as it was, and Carolina had a chance to win it at the end. But that's because when you don't make plays in the passing game, mm-hmm. the games are always going to be close.
Jacoby Brissett, his job is just to be not screwing it up. Maybe he can make some plays, but I don't see him being a playmaking quarterback. As long as he doesn't turn the football over, I think this Cleveland team will be in games. But that's probably what's going to swing the pendulum when they play some of these better teams down the line, is that they're going to actually need him to make plays, and I'm afraid he's not going to be able to do it. The Miami Dolphins defeated the New England Patriots 20-7. I thought, outside of the turnovers, this was a pretty evenly played game here. Was that your read when you went back and watched the tape?
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, look, you know, I know Tua has great numbers, and people are going to say, well, you're just a Tua hater. Look, I mean, Tyreek Hill makes an unbelievable play on the he intercepted the ball away from the corner back there. You know, it was a hell of a play. And Tua, you know, the throw he makes inside to Waddle was a great throw and a great throw and catch. It, to me, was the same thing. You know, it's yards after catch. And New England didn't do a good enough job of rushing him inside. They did a great job of taking away the run. I mean, Edmonds averaged 2-1 a carry. The problem that New England has, they keep turning the ball over every time they play them. I mean, going into that game before, they had 4 turnovers in the last time they played them. In this game, they had 3. They throw interceptions, red zone interception. And Miami scored 13 points with their defense. Credit them. I mean, you know, credit them. Mac Jones looked like his back was hurting him in the game. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. He didn't look like he had any juice on the football at all. He didn't look like he could drive the ball. And when the Patriots are not able to really run the ball effectively, Damian Harris was, but they really couldn't get into rhythm, and they play from behind. You play from behind in the NFL down there in that heat and humidity. It's hard to get back into the game. I thought they were going to get back in the game in the second half, but it never manifested itself. And, you know, they're going to have to fix this. You know, people are going to say, well, their offense, look, they got to fix the mistakes. They're making too many mistakes. You know, when you look at the drive chart, right? So, you know, New England had the ball for 9 drives, okay? 3 of the drives, and that counts the end of the half drive, okay? That was one play. So they had it 8 drives. In those 8 drives, they turned the ball over 3 times. The last, in the fourth quarter, they turn it over on downs and fumble. They punt, turn it over on downs. They did not have a 3-and-out drive the whole game. They did not. Now, they fumbled. First drive of the game, they go 8 plays, interception. Second drive, they go 8 plays, and they got to punt the ball, you know. And then they fumble again. Then they fumble that, and then they fumble in the last play. So they have nobody to blame but themselves in this one. Literally, they don't. I mean, they lost it. Give credit to the Miami Dolphins. But can Miami beat elite teams going this forward? We shall see.
Any update on Mac's back? He wasn't able to talk to the reporters, so. It's clearly something. I don't know what the extent of it is, but what's the latest on that?
I haven't heard, but I can only say from watching the game, it looked like he didn't have a lot on the ball. Could he have a stress fracture in his back? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But he got hit, and I think ultimately it looked like he was playing injured to me because he wasn't playing with the same zip on the football that I thought he needed to have.
Well, how about Fly Eagles Fly, Michael? I don't know what the temperature is out there in Ocean City and that area there, but Fly Eagles Fly, they defeat the Detroit Lions 38-35. They were covering the whole game damn near, and then they let the Lions backdoor that one. That pissed me off a little bit as someone who laid the points. But what did you make of the Eagles offense in particular putting up 38 points?
I thought the Eagles offense is exactly what we think it is. It's the Oklahoma offense. Hurts has 17 carries for 90 yards in the game. When he has to throw the ball effectively, it's not. He made a couple. He made a throw down the field to A.J. Brown. But those throws on those 9 routes are not read throws. Those are just, we're going to throw it here. They're not read throws. And then I think you got to be, if you're an Eagle fan, you know, you gave up a ton of yards. You couldn't get off the field on third down. You know, you couldn't get off the field on third down. You gave up, you know, the Jared Goff threw you one. But other than that, I mean, you know, I don't. You were horrible in the red zone. The Lions were 4-for-4 in the red zone. Think about that. You got to be concerned about it, right?
Can we stop the Jonathan Gannon head coach hype stuff?
No, you're not. Jonathan Gannon could be the defense coordinator for the David Ogletree tree. You can't.
Brilliant.
Don't you understand
this?
When you get labeled brilliant in the NFL, nobody looks at the stats. He's a brilliant young coach. Just let him be brilliant, please. I don't know why you're getting upset with this. This is the whole NFL. You get labeled something. Kellen Moore's a brilliant offensive coordinator. I don't know if you're aware of that.
This is why
David Ogletree should – this is why – I mean, it's advertisement. Like, show me one tape that – I kept saying this all offseason. The Eagle defense, when they played good quarterbacks, the ball was only on the ground 36 times. Six games, 36 times. You know? I would not call Jared Goff a great quarterback. I hate to break the news to you. Now there's some people in this that, you know, that think he's great. There were some people that thought he was well deserving of the first round pick. I got my ass ripped, you know, on by all those people with the Rams and by the worldwide leaders commentators. You know, he don't know what he's talking about. Okay, you know, how's that working out for you? I mean, if they played against a good quarterback yesterday, I mean, Goff had 16 incomplete passes. I mean, he threw a pick six to them.
Yeah, this Gannon thing to me is just absolutely – it's ridiculous because that defense gets lit on fire. And now you can't blame – there's so many talented players on that defense. This is a situation that – or I think it's just the scheme. The scheme is too vanilla, and these defenses, the offenses, I should say, they know exactly what to do with it. What did you make of the Lions, though? Are they a little bit better than you thought going into the season here?
No, I think they're not very good on defense.
Oh, they're horrible. I mean,
they're not very good
horrible on defense.
You know, and they didn't play against a legitimate passing quarterback. You know, which is going to be a bigger problem. They played against a team, which concerns you, is the Eagles ran the ball 47 times the last time they played them for over 200 yards. So you had all offseason to say, how are we going to defend their run game? And they ran for another 200-yard day. I mean, the Lions are a draft away defensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really need a lot of help there. But it's year two of what's probably a 3-to-4-year rebuild over there in the Motor City. Let's motor into our next segment. But first, we got to take a break here, Michael. This is the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. All right, Michael, before we get out of here, we have one more game to break down from Sunday. That was the NFC North showdown between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings get the win 23-7. Packers offense struggles. Vikings offense early on especially looked really good. Justin Jefferson, the hype is real with the 150-yard performance in the first half and two touchdowns as Kevin O'Connell gets win number one in his early coaching career.
You know what was fascinating about yesterday? We have 10 new coaches, right? 5 first-time head coaches, 5 second-time head coaches. The 4 first-time head coaches that played yesterday all won, which is a rare, rare thing, right? You know, and the second time coaches, other than Todd Bowles, everyone else lost. So credit to Kevin O'Connell. He took over. I thought he took over a good team. I like the Vikings on the over total because I think their offense is good. And I felt like they're going to be improved defensively. And look, I'm just going to look at my text here because, you know, the Big Daddy negative text.
Oh, yeah. What did Big Daddy say?
It started so freaking early. Like, let me see what time it started.
Was it with the Christian Watson dropped touchdown or when did it start?
Yeah. The Green Bay game start at 107. So far, this Green Bay game is laughable. I mean, he's just already, you know, I guess the draw, he, you know. This one, I think people will love this one. The Dylan, you know, when they ran for it on fourth down and Dylan got stopped at the goal line, this is the great text of all time. The Dylan call the Vikings saw coming a mile away. La fuck fooled no one. I love it. It's a La fuck. Fooled no one.
It was another rocky week one for the Packers, who did this last year as well, by the way, losing to the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, look, I'm keeping track of this for the book, for my breakdowns, and I mean, it's pretty clear. Some coaches just don't know how to get a team ready for opening day. Andy Reid does. Shocking. He played his guys, and his execution was magnificent, right, against Arizona. Kingsbury was good last year. He wasn't so good this year. He didn't play his guys as much this year. We, you know, so, and he's got a lot of guys hurt, too, in fairness to Kingsbury, but I think what you saw was, you know, this Packer team just wasn't in any kind of rhythm. LaFleur, according to Big Daddy, you know, I mean, he didn't fool anybody, nor is he able to get his team ready to play on opening day. I mean, that's pretty – I think two sample sizes here are pretty good. And, you know, we were all over, Patrick and I on the show, we're all over Minnesota. And that line, Femi, moved from Minnesota to – from a dog to Minnesota to the favorite, partly because of the injuries to the Packers' offensive line.
Yeah, and I think that played a big factor into it because we saw Za'Darius Smith now with the Vikings and Danielle Hunter, those guys getting some pressure on Rodgers because he was without David Bakhtiari on the left side and Elgton Jenkins on the right side. So I think once they get that offensive line squared away, but the receiver situation,
and
though, is the
to
one
come back.
Yes.
You know, they missed Lazard too, so that hurt them. And then, you know, like we said on the show, when Sammy Watkins is your number one receiver, you don't have a number one receiver. I mean, like, seriously, is there ever – you talk about a David Ogilvie guy. This guy keeps making money, like, left and right. You know, it's like he keeps getting signed like he's still the eighth pick or ninth pick overall in the draft. It's, like, ridiculous. Like, everybody keeps thinking he's going to turn it around. I don't get it. Past performance predicts future achievement. So, look, you know, Rodgers took a beating.
Yeah, I want to play this clip for you, Michael, here from Aaron Rodgers, because he's talking about these wide receivers and the job that they did not get done yesterday in the loss to the Vikings.
We got to have patience with those guys. They're young. You know, they haven't been in the fire. Now, that patience will be thinner as the season goes on, but the expectation will be high. So we'll keep them accountable, but it's going to happen. It's going to be drops. Hate to see it on the first play, but it's a part of it. It's going to be drops throughout the season. C-Dub catches that one, 75-yard touchdown. If I pull the one on the goal line, I walk in for a touchdown. There's 14 points. Let's see, 23-7. Yeah, so we would have been right in it.
For the viewing audience on YouTube, that little smirk at the end just gets me there. But he's right. I mean, the Christian Watson drop really set the tone for this entire game. That's the first play of their season. He drops a dime right in his hands. He walks into the end zone. The rookie drops it.
Look, Jerry Rice had 9 drops as a rookie. It happens. I mean, it just happens. I mean, it doesn't mean he's a bad. Look at Ja'Marr Chase last year during the preseason. Couldn't catch a cold. I mean, just Aaron's completely right. It's going to, you know, I like how he's addressing it as we. He's like coaching the team. You know, like, I'm going to get this shit straightened out here, you know? And look, credit Minnesota's. Ed Donatell did a great job defensively. You know, he's Minnesota played better. Cousins did exactly what Cousins does. He's, you know, he throws completions. Jefferson was open, you know, made the throws, big-time throws. Cook ran the ball well. They got Madison to get 8 carries in there. Like, here's what I don't understand. If Dalvin Cook can be involved on third down, can carry the ball 20 times, how come Joe Mixon has to sub out for Sammy Perrine? Like, explain that to me.
Well, Mixon's not a part of their nickel stuff. There's not their.
That's right. Don't put him on the field on third down because Zach Taylor doesn't want him on the field on third down.
Don't put him on the field.
Unbelievable. Zach Taylor's lucky. I'm telling you, if Zach Taylor worked for Al Davis, he would have gotten fired after the Super Bowl. He would have never got an extension.
I'm not sure
never
he would have made
got
it.
An extension. He would have never made it through yesterday. He would have been Scott Frost yesterday.
Yes. Poor one out for our buddy Scott Frost getting fired by Nebraska. But Michael, let's get to the awards because this is something that we do here on the GM Shuffle podcast. During the offseason, we didn't hand them out, but we're week one. Let's get to the awards. And the first one on the lamb, and you want to give it to who?
I just think, to me, if you're going to save Trey Lance's career and you've invested this much into him, right? If you've invested this much into him, you need to put him on. He's going to lose his confidence, right? Like, it's hard for this kid. Like, you're going to lose the kid because the pressure is going to continue to mount. It's going to continue to mount on him. It's not fair. If you kept the guy behind him who won for you, who's won 31 games in 31 and 14, if you've kept him, why not just let it keep going? Like, why are we in such a rush? You're going to lose this kid. I'm just telling you. I don't know if he's a good player. Right now, I don't think he's a good player. Like, I don't, but there's not enough sample size. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, to me, let him go on the lamb a little bit. Like, let's get this so we can have some and build it. I think that's what I would do.
The Fred Palermo best game plan of the week, Michael. Who are you giving this one to?
Well, Fred's 96. God bless him. He's still ticking. He's still doing good. I think Pittsburgh did a great job. I mean, they didn't lose the game. They turned the ball over. They created turnovers. They overcame a horrendous offensive performance by their offense. But, You know, they go into Cincinnati. They were a 6.5-point dog to open the week. By the end of the week, they were a 7.5-point. Everybody was saying, you know, people are disrespecting the Bengals. You know, no, people were disrespecting Mike Tomlin. Let's put that in perspective. A good head coach can figure out a way to win a game.
If you don't know, now you know. And this one probably cuts deep near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look, Dallas is fucked. I mean, let's face it, right? Yeah. I mean, where are they going? Cooper Rush? I mean, you know, this isn't a 1-800 number you can call to get a quarterback. Like, okay, yeah, I got a blue chip quarterback sitting over here. Just bring him on in. I mean, you're going to have a harder time running the football. You have receivers that have a hard time winning on the outside. It's going to become a tougher game each week to try to manufacture points. And then, are you as good as you think you are on defense? You know, like, are you as good? You know, we were talking about how the Bucs were, you know, they weren't as good in the offensive line. They weren't as good at receiver. Really, where they weren't as good is they weren't as good at the execution in the red zone. That's the only area they weren't.
Well, Dallas will have Joe Burrow and a pretty angry Bengals team coming to town this Sunday, so I'm sure that'll go well. And the final award, this is a new one here, Michael, on the GM Shuffle, the David Ogilvie Award. Who's going to win the inaugural David Ogilvie Award?
Did anybody listen to what Robert Salai said after the game? Did anybody listen to this fucking guy?
You sent it to Stephen and I.
I mean, did anybody listen to this comment? Like, he's coaching in New York City. It's the big fucking Apple. Like, there's no, like, nobody wants an excuse. Nobody's, you know, you're not coaching in California Little League where everybody gets to play right field, where nobody cares about who wins. You know, everybody's going to play. We're all going to have a nice time. We're going to go to Dairy Queen after the game. We're all going to have a bite. You know, everybody's going to come together. We'll hold hands. What is he talking about?
Kumbaya.
I watched the game this morning. Like, at some point, I mean, the Baltimore was ripe to be beaten. They didn't play great. Baltimore's offense, to me, still looks bad. But at the end of the day, they couldn't block on third. They converted one third down. Mike LaFleur's the offensive coordinator. I got a sick big daddy on him, too. Like, they couldn't convert a third down. They couldn't really make up all this talent that they had. They couldn't make a play. I mean, the Jets are the very most talented team. To me, at some point, you know, I've wondered how he got the job. He went through all those interviews and nobody hired him other than the Jets, which makes all the sense in the world.
Well, he runs stairs before the game, so that's cool.
That's right.
Before we get out of here, though, Michael, we got a game tonight. This one's going to be fun. It's Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos, going to Seattle. Will Russ cook this evening in the Pacific Northwest? His old kitchen there over the last decade. Right now, our show sponsor, DraftKings, they have the Broncos 6.5-point favorites with a total of 43.5.
I lean towards taking the points at home with Seattle, just from what I saw this weekend. If Seattle doesn't turn the ball over and if Russ doesn't run, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. If Russ is running, right, if he's going to be willing to run around and make loose plays, and how does he look athletically? You know, they know who Russ is in Seattle. They should be able to game plan against what he can do. So I think that. The other thing I want to make it really clear, everybody keeps asking me, where are my picks, okay? Mm-hmm. My picks are going to be, if you're a VSiN subscriber, they're going to be on VSiN, the daily email. So you have to get them there. I'm not going to post them during the week. If you watch the Lombardi line, I'll certainly give them out. And then Sunday, they'll be in that newsletter. You've got to be a VSiN subscriber to get that. So that's how it's all going to go down. Odds on Lombardi no longer will exist because I don't need to do that anymore. I work for VSiN full time now. So, if you want my picks Sunday morning, get the email, sign up for VSiN. You'll see them in there once the week gets going. And I had four yesterday. I had four. I had Pittsburgh. I lost Arizona. I had Pittsburgh, Chicago. And, who else did I have? Femi, I had Pittsburgh, Chicago.
That's a good question.
I didn't even give the Giants out, and I like the Giants all week. I had Houston, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Arizona.
There you go. And we had a lot of people, a lot of listeners who thank you for listening, by the way, that were curious about where your picks were. So you heard it there from Michael. His picks will be on the VSiN Pro, the newsletter there. So make sure to find that and subscribe to that. But that does it for this week's episode, Michael. It was a lot of fun reacting to Sunday's version of week one. Thank you to our producer, Stephen Bond. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to VSiN. Thank you to you. And we will talk to you on Thursday where we turn the page.
I can't wait, Femi. I can't wait. I feel bad for all you Survivor people. I feel bad. Half the contest is gone. I feel bad.
I don't feel bad. I took the Eagles. Let's go. All right, Michael.
All right.
Let's go. I'll talk to you Thursday, buddy. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Thanks,
as always. We'll see you guys then. Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.